Today, we have Greg McKeown with us here in the studio, who is running as an independent candidate. Welcome, Greg, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate this request to come in and chat with you.
Were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
Yes, I was I'm from Enderby and own a small business there. And some of the challenges we faced as a business owner actually ended up having me run for city council back in about 1996. Got on council, and then I did, over the course of the next 25 years, I did five terms as a councillor, and which led then to becoming the mayor of Enderby for 8 years. So none of those were ever in my sights to actually be a part of, but just the way life happened, I ended up doing it and quite enjoying it.
What made you decide to run in this particular election?
Well, I was getting to the point where I have three young kids. Well, not young, they're, my son's 24 and I have a 23 and a 19-year-old daughters. And I just, as we talk and we have dinner and I could see, and we're a hardworking family and we're always going to survive, but their lack of a dream being possible and their future really kind of concerned me. And, you know, I would try to direct the conversation to where, you know, you guys can do anything you want to do, but it just seemed for young people, especially, that there was just so many challenges ahead that, and I thought, what is that? What are the stumbling blocks? And it turns out it's actually government. So that's why I thought, you know, I'm going to continue with my career as a politician. I don't consider myself a politician, but I was going to continue down that path.
Are you originally from the Shuswap?
I was born in Regina, only lived there for a year. And then my dad ran a group of bakeries in Calgary, but he always wanted his own bakery. So in 1975, we moved to Enderby and purchased Sutherland's Bakery. And we've been now running that for 50 years, will be next March. So we're pretty excited and proud of that business. And so that's how I ended up in Enderby. So Enderby for the last 50 years.
What was your life like growing up here or before you came in this area?
Well, in Calgary, it's a big city. I learned by the age of 12 when I moved here that I did not want to live in a large city, and I did never ever want to live in a large city. So when my dad brought me to Enderby, I honestly, it was the greatest gift he could ever given. You know, I had four sisters and it was just wonderful. So by having a small business, we were allowed to work immediately. You know, like we're always in the bakery helping, cleaning, sweeping, unloading trucks, loading trucks. That gave us a little bit of spending money, which allowed us to go. The very first thing I bought was a bike. And being a 12-year-old kid in Enderby with a bike, I mean, it was like, holy cow, this does not get better than this. So,
what's your living situation now?
So I'm still in Enderby. We still run and operate. My son's taken over the bakery. Managing it, and he's got my sister, actually my middle sister is here, and so she's had her own stores in the past also, so between the two of them they're doing really well. So this allowed me the time to, you know, pour 1,000% into this next process. So
what sort of work and other activities have you been involved in?
You know, we're kind of workaholics. So between the business and the community, you know, we poured every ounce of Enderby. Was a wonderful little community, or it still is, but we, at one point in the, well, about the 2000, we realized that we were a very senior orientated community. We were told that 75% of our population in 2025 would be over the age of 75. So when you have 3/4 of your population aging and with the potential to have quite a few fixed incomes, it's very difficult to run a community. So we actually struck out to make our community younger. Step one would be MVBD. We lobbied to get that old 100-year-old school replaced. We did. That encouraged young families to look at us to, you know, move there. The prices were right. In the North Okanagan, we are probably the most affordable for about a 7 to 8 year period. So we completely changed the makeup of Enderby, and then you had to start providing all the things that were needed. You know, like all of a sudden I was getting my teeth cleaned one day and the girl says to me, "Where do we do yoga in town?" And I'm like, "Oh, I have no idea, but that's a good one, right? And so then as you started offering these services, you realized that you also had daycare attached to that. And so it was literally a rebuild of a 150-year-old community. And so that took up an awful lot of time. But we're seeing the successes. And moving forward, that's my goal for, if I can get to Victoria, it's we need to, again, just focus on the Shuswap and provide every opportunity to everyone that lives here.
What is it that keeps you here?
There's just nothing better. I'm not a huge traveler, but when I do travel, when you're driving from the Kelowna Airport and you come over the little knoll and you can clearly see the Shuswap, it's just like the greatest thing ever. Like I honestly, then I always say to myself, why did I even take that vacation when I live here? Why did I, and it is, I love it. As a 16-year-old, I got an old Fargo van was my first kind of, besides a janitor job at the bakery. And I was tasked with taking a truck full of bread and pastries and calling on every campground, every tour stop in the Shuswap. And that's what I did. I'd leave at 6 in the morning and get home at 6 at night. And I was in the North Shore. I was in Maliqua. Wherever there was tourists, that's where I went in this little van. And it was a wonderful experience. So you got to see, Sunnybury Road, like all these places that you just would never go to. So, and that's still in my, when I started this process of trying to represent this area, that brought back so many wonderful memories of, oh man, this is back in my days. I just love it. It's home. It'll always be home. My son traveled to Thailand and him and a bunch of his friends wanted to get tattoos. So wasn't hugely keen on that, but that's the thing these days. So on the inside of his arm, he got Enderby tattooed on his arm. And I said to him, I go, that's it. He goes, that's my home, Dad. That's it. So our whole family believes that.
What's it like being a candidate? Have you gone through a training program?
I was a part of the BC United Party. When Greg Kylo announced his retirement, he kind of gave me a call and said, if you're thinking of moving on, and I actually was, I just didn't know that would be the approach. So when I joined them, obviously they were a full political party. They had, the training, the access to information, that type of thing. So when they merged with the Conservative Party on whatever it was, August 28th, you're kind of left out in the cold and it was obviously different. We didn't know what we were going to do. We thought maybe we may get the invitation to, become the Conservative candidate here, and we didn't. But, so as an independent, I don't think we would have approached it if it wasn't for the times. There just seems to be a lot of independents that are really skilled, wonderful, caring, compassionate people that are putting their names forward. And I think, I felt that I was the best representative for this riding. So I didn't really want to exit. I think I have a lot to offer. So, you had to wake up and say, okay, zero support except for my friends and family, which is what life's all about. But we can do this. We owe it to the Shuswap to, especially when it became just a two horse race. I think a lot of people that I spoke to, all they can picture is the U.S. where it's like one or the other and it's a disaster, right? So people want choice. They want democracy. They want to be able to, pick what they believe will do the best job. So I'm glad I did, pull myself off the ground and dust myself off and stay in the race. And it's been super positive. I'm very honored to be in this position right now.
What's a typical day like for you now?
Well, I usually get up at about, I'm a 4:40 riser. I don't know why that number. There's probably something there that you could go figure that out. But at 4:40, I wake up naturally every day. And I think it's just from the bakery. And I'll get down there. I make sure everybody's good and happy. And then I just head out on the road. I've put on 27,000 kilometers since March, just driving around the Shuswap. And I just talk to people and, hear their concerns. It's actually, I always say as a politician, well, I go talk to people. Actually, mostly you go listen to people. And that's honestly what's the best part. And then I'll when we first decided to run as independents, I gathered up a group of people, and I never left Salmon Arm before 2 a.m. for a straight week as we, you know, tried to get the pieces of the puzzle all poured onto the table. And getting home at 2 a.m. and then getting up at 4:40. And so it's been a little bit tired at this point, but energized by the feedback that we're getting. So,
is being a candidate like you thought it would be?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, the goal is, you know, and I've heard it. I'm actually the only place I've ever heard it explained really, really well is actually the mayor in Salmon Arm here. You know, if you go to one of his talks or his mayor's address that he gives annually, he says it's customer service is what it should be. And by having the bakery for 50 years, which is 100% a customer service business, you know, being the mayor of Enderby, which my staff would laugh at me there. I'd head off to get the mail in Enderby and I'd come back 2.5 hours later and they're like, what were you doing? I'm like, well, I was getting the mail. And they're like, well, why did it take so long? I go, well, because there was people getting the mail also. So, you know, I think when you focus and as Alan says, it is, we're providing customer service to the people that live here. And if you can go down that path, it's actually quite easy to keep going and stay energized because you see the results, you see the, where you're making things better for people. So, you know, it is what I expected. And as long as I don't stray from that, I quite enjoy it.
What particular qualities do you feel you bring to your candidacy? Not just what the party's looking for, but what qualities do you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
Well, I think the number one thing I have, I'm the hardest working person I've ever met. And I know a lot of people. Like I just, my idea of a day of relaxation is just talking to people and helping to, you know, navigate the challenges of time. I have four sisters, so I never got to speak until I was about 20. So I became a really incredibly good listener through that part of life. So that's blessed me too, to be able to listen to people versus, you know, cutting them off and talking. So those are probably the two, hardworking and a good listener.
What particular policies do you feel most strongly about or resonate with you most personally?
I think the number one thing for me, just as a business owner, is it's fiscal responsibility, honestly. Is when we would come out of council's meetings in the past and we're standing on the street talking, and it would always usually relate back to like a provincial or federal issue. And I always stated that it's too bad that we couldn't manage the money better. By managing, and if you just took it as a household, you know, you're tasked, you have so much coming in, you have so much needs to go out. Hopefully there's a little bit left over. Hopefully you can invest in, you know, fixing up the roof. And that's what government should be, and it's not. You know, we challenge the taxpayer to be efficient with the money and then turn around and do just a terrible job at fiscal responsibility. So I think that's the number one thing that I think it leads to better decisions in government. If it's not a panic on, well, we've spent this, we don't have that money, where do we look for a tax now? If it could be just honestly ran fiscally better, I think there'd be better choices all around. So I'm not a party, but I have I texted a gentleman here from town and I said to him, oh, I'm just to let you know I'm running as an independent. And he's a real political junkie. So he says, oh, send me your platform and I'll, if you don't mind, I'll review it and make comments. I said, sounds good. So I texted him back and I said, all things Shuswap. And about 5 minutes went by and he goes, I like that. You know, I really like that. You're actually going to focus on the issues of the Shuswap. So, and that'll be the goal moving forward, is to just, you know, learn, understand, and then go and fight in Victoria for what's needed here at home.
Sounds like you anticipated my next question. What issues do you feel are the dominant matters in the Salmon Arm Shuswap riding that you will focus on if you're elected?
Well, affordability would be number one. There's difficulties out there. There's challenges ahead. I think we're heading into somewhat of a recession, which is going to put pressures. Interest rates are difficult. So affordability is number one, but I think what's truly hitting home here is homelessness actually, and addiction and those types of public safety issues are, you know, I think if we leave Salmon Arm and we make a trip once every 6 weeks to Kelowna or Kamloops to do the big shop or whatever people do. I'm allergic to big box stores too, by the way. I can't even go in the parking lot, but the people will do that. And they see the issues that the larger centers have and come back here. And I think we're starting to see them in Salmon Arm and some of the smaller communities too. And we're just not in a position as a smaller community to support what's needed. So I think not only the supports, but the effect of like homelessness, it isn't the people that we see that are struggling, against life and society. It's the challenges of the small business owner that's cleaning up the broken window. It's the effects of it. So I think, from a shoe swap perspective, we see it starting, and how can the province and the country itself address and work on that? So those are probably the top two things. We did an exercise the other night, and we ended up with over 150 issues that our small team thought was a part of the shoe swap. And it was eye-opening because it's everything from the farmers concerned about water. It's everything from, the lack of doctors. It's there's just so many things. And, and I think the goal now, and this is what the voter's looking for, is where do we start? Someone just show us where we start, and then we work together to fix things.
What issues provincially do you feel are important?
Well, I think the problem with BC right now is we're not like, I don't know, we've got no revenue. We had Site C Dam. That was a revenue generator. It provided a lot of jobs, as it turned out. Where we're going with electricity, it was probably a pretty good move. We don't really have any, major projects to have revenue sources. So we can fall back on tourism to a degree. Agriculture, I believe we need to grow more of our own foods here in Canada in general, not just BC. We should be feeding ourselves. I often tell the story of at our pizza store in Enderby, we sometimes run out of green peppers, so we wait for them to come in from Mexico or California. Yet if I drove to the Fraser Valley within 3 hours of, there's greenhouses full of them. So I think we just need to align ourselves with what we want as British Columbians. Like, we should be able to feed ourselves. We should be able to see opportunities, whether it's through private sector ownership or technologies, innovation. We throw out lots of green energy ideas that, do they work? Will they work? How do you invest in that where there's a result? We seem to be a province that just is honestly right now just existing. We're not firing in all cylinders. We're probably only, firing on half. So I think it's just a matter of, again, deciding where we want to go as a people in BC and going after it and fast, because we've just kind of worked ourselves into a bit of a lull here.
What is the one thing, or perhaps two or three things, you'd really like to accomplish if you're elected?
Just turning the whole government fiscal ideal around. I honestly believe that there's enough money from the taxes that exist. We have too many. Some need to disappear, for sure. But I think there's enough money paid by the citizens of British Columbia, Canada, to run government. It's when it's run poorly that they need more. And that's the challenge. So that would be probably the number one thing, is get down and just, whether it's through, financial audits. At the municipality we do, well, at a municipality you can't run a deficit. That's what people don't realize, is, the province, what if they were tasked without running a deficit? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But just, again, better fiscal responsibility. We would do what they were called value for money audits. So you would look and go, the money that you're spending that is the taxpayers, is there value back to your community? So that would be probably the number one thing. I think after that, we're in a society shift now through many reasons, social media. We've lost respect for, a lot of things. And we need to bring that back. We need to, I use the word celebrate. We need to celebrate our healthcare practitioners. We need to celebrate small business. We need to celebrate farming. We need to celebrate the guy that loads his semi truck and gets the products that you need across the country. We need to celebrate people versus where we just seem to vilify everything now. So I think we need a bit of a culture shift. And again, I think it all comes back to money, which is, if government really honestly shouldn't be noticed, like you should not have to know what they do. They should be providing the infrastructure that allows you to live your life. And right now it's, you turn on the news and you're just like, they did what? And that's the challenge that lies ahead of us.
How do you intend to try and achieve these goals if you're in office?
Well, you have to work together. That's the only way to do it. I mean, on any city council, for example, I'll go back to that just because I was involved with it for a great deal. I mean, there's an election and 7 humans walk in and sit at the table. And you have to learn a little bit about them. You've got to respect them. You've got to find out what and how they'd like to approach things. And then together as a team, you have to go and execute. And I think that's the same thing there. I think we have to get down to where there's less mudslinging, there's less finger pointing, there's less like, education, where do we want it to go in BC? And we all need to sit there and we all need to figure it out. And we have to include teachers and trustees and elected officials and parents and work at it that way. And then there's the other thing that is crucial that people never, ever talk about. It's the bureaucratic effect. So when an election happens, yes, there's lots of shuffling of some people are in, some people are out. There's new people. There's all kinds of things happen. But the bureaucratic portion that runs the province is always the same. So you have to have the ability to go in and sit with them and just say, hey, how are we doing? How is the Ministry of Forests doing? And then they go, well, we're doing pretty good. Oh, good. Well, is there something we could do that would alleviate some of the fire problems that we're having? That type of thing. So I think it's that, again, just a mutual respect that, hey, we're here to make things good for people that live here. So I think that's it in a nutshell. It's just that ability to go and work with each other, come up with solutions, take the technical advice, take the scientific advice, and honestly weed through all that and come out at the end of the day with the best solution.
If you're elected, what are the things you'd like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
Well, I think that whole bit about, if government's really good, you shouldn't know that they're there. And I would love that. I'd love to tell people I was an MLA for 8 years and they went, whoa, what did you do? Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Thank you for noticing. I think that's the key to, you can look at it as a household. You can look at it as a business. You can look at it. It's representing. And as we said earlier, it's customer service. If you're providing what the people of BC need, they shouldn't even know that it's what you're doing. So that would be my goal is to bring things down to a level of just, Yeah, here's what we're doing. We're providing for people clean drinking water, the opportunity to go out and do, as I said earlier with my kids, what do you want to do? Let's go do that. Let's not look at every roadblock that there is. So I think that'd be the number one thing.
Are there any final comments you'd like to make?
No, I just want to thank you for having me in. That's our challenge as elected officials is to talk to as many people as we can. The media is the true source of that. And even what you guys do here, I won't even classify as you media because I think your intention is just to, again, provide the Shuswap with the opportunities to hear and listen to different perspectives. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg, for coming in, and good luck in the election.
Thank you very much.